To start this essay boldly, I love music. But what does this almost common quote mean? I love a huge variety of music. I can enjoy hours by listening to anything from jazz, rock, classical music, hip-hop, electronica, indie, and much more. During my extended hobby of playing music, collecting records, and entering discussions with other musicians and music lovers, I got intrigued by a specific form of subgenre, and that is post-rock. If you look up the description of post-rock on Wikipedia, it states that it, quote, is a form of experimental rock characterized by the influence and use of instruments commonly associated with rock music, but using rhythms and sound textures not traditionally found in rock, end of quote. Some of the characteristics of post-rock are usually a deconstruction of the rock genre. By breaking free of classical rock tropes, such as the verse chorus structure, post-rock rather relies on the use of soundscapes, crescendo, or droning. What really resonates with me is the focus on the instrumentals. I do have to admit, if it comes to music in general, I always favor the instrumentation over lyrics and meaning to a song. Not that those things aren't important either. So post-rock mostly focuses less on lyrics because it gives the listener and their imagination more freedom for interpretation and emotional connection. This could result in a lot of different experiences for different people, as they are not tied down to a specific theme. There are of course exceptions, like the Icelandic group Sigur Rós, which rely on a mixture of Icelandic words, a made-up language called Hoplandic or Vonlanska, and onomatopoeia vocal sounds, or to explain it more simply, a form of gibberish vocals that fits to the music, kind of similar to scat singing in vocal jazz. Like with most musical genres, the true origin can't be pinned down to one moment in time or artist. Some sources mark the release of the highly influential album The Velvet Underground and Nico from the year 1967 for pioneering elements into popular rock music and avant-garde instrumentation and its use of droning. Other sources state that David Bowie's Low could be considered a post-rock record if it was released in the 90s. A massive impact in popularity in post-rock came with the boom of alternative rock music in the late 80s and early 90s, with artists like Talk Talk, who originally came from an art rock new wave side, and Slint, who emerged from math rock and post-hardcore. And although both being from two completely opposite sides in the rock music spectrum, it gave the genre a new form and wide variety of influences, such as jazz and crowd rock. This welcomed a lot more artists into the lineup, which later turned them into status symbols for the genre, such as the more jazz-influenced Tortoise, the orchestral-arranged group Godspeed You Black Emperor, and Mogwai, who root back into noise rock. Although lacking in critical reception and popularity with critics in the 2000s, the new millennium expanded on the ground of post-rock, giving rise to more artists than ever before, and the genre's final breakthrough into pop culture. In the year 2000, the critically acclaimed British group Radiohead, which was considered a frontrunner for alternative rock by the time, released its fourth studio album, Kid A, following a huge backlash from fans and critics, who expected a new record in the style of their earlier works, such as OK Computer and The Bends. Frontman Thom Yorke explained that he was on the verge of a breakdown after the last album, so he envisioned a radical change in direction. The once famous and beloved indie rock group pulled the rug under their followers and changed their complete sound with influences of electronica, ambient, and crowd rock. Panned by critics and fans at first, Kid A turned into a major milestone for the post-rock scene years later. Not only for its musical style, but for its risky choice of a mainstream group to break free of its conventional structure and sound layout. The The former mentioned Sigur Rós were also brought into the spotlight. One of their most notable songs, Hoppy Polla, even became a staple for background music in BBC shows, documentaries, and various advertisements, as well as in trailers for movies like Children of Men and Slumdog Millionaire. Some of the most notable artists in the 2000s and 2010s are groups like Do Make Say Think, Mono, 65 Days of Static, This Will Destroy You, Explosions in the Sky, Swans, and many more. Post-rock left a distinguishing mark on modern rock music. For example, just a couple of years ago, a new genre was created on the foundation of post-rock, with elements from dream pop, shoegaze, and black metal, which is now called blackgaze. A new fusion genre, which includes the harsh sound of black metal, melted with the reflective soundscapes of post-rock and shoegaze. Most notable artists of this sound include the French group Alcest and the American group Def Heaven, both bands who lately received high praise among critics for their latest works. But what about post-rock here in Austria? Yes, of course, it's just a niche, but nothing that should be easily overlooked. Artists like Lainen, Our Ceasing Voice, or Mountain keep the spirit of post-rock alive, with a plethora of other artists following along. There is a great article from 2016 on musicaustria.com that goes a bit deeper into this subject and describes the Austrian post-rock scene with well and lesser known artists. Although it's not that prominent in pop culture today, the influences are clear. Post-rock is a style of music that defines typical boundaries and evolves further by time. Wherever the genre is taking us in the future, I have high hopes for more fantastic records, artists, and subgenres that will emerge from it. And this is why I love post-rock.